These batteries are remarkable things. When they work, lots of things work. And when they don't... So this is about the second time in the last year that this happened to me. I didn't check it out. It's my own dang fault. Okay. Oops. That's not what I want. Here we go. Yeah, and I have problems with the printer too, so I couldn't print out my notes. It's been one of those days. So here's the deal. Just like this little microphone here, it works when the battery's working. I think it's a similar thing when we engage our capacity to receive mercy. One of the things that has occurred to me in my own life, and then talking to people, especially in confession, just broadly speaking, and it seems to me that, you know, you could do the I absolve you from all your sins things a lot. The question gets to be, is it received? How do we receive that? How do we receive that in a way that is telling? Now, I think there's something about the gospel that can maybe take us there. Let's see if it goes there. It seems to me too, more and more, we could look at the younger son first. The kid leaves home. He wants something and at the same time is avoiding something. It might take some speculation here about what he's avoiding. What does he ask for? He asks for half of the father's property. Give to me the share of that which will belong to me. His father divided the property between them, and then he squandered his property in dissolute living. There are two different words in Greek used there. What the kid asks for and what he's given is the Greek word ousios, meaning stuff, that which is. So the kid wanted stuff. And he took the stuff and ran. But the father gave him something else, bios. He gave from his living. It's more than just assets. It has to do with something of his living. It's more organic. It's more profound than just stuff. And it makes sense. When we're younger, you know, we all want stuff. I still do, and I'm not that young. And it seems like it'll fill everything. It'll fill our void. It'll fill our loneliness. Maybe that's the first speculation about what the young guy was avoiding. The Greek word bios is also used in chapter 8. As for what fell among the thorns, this is the parable of the sower. These are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, of just living. So that's what the young guy is caught up in. And I can't read this other stuff. One of the things I think that there are so many relations in in Luke's language with the Greek Old Testament in the language of wisdom literature. So let's speculate that what the young guy really seeks is wisdom. How do we get wisdom? As Mark Twain, I think it was Mark Twain, no, someone like that, some wag. We learn from our experience by making bad choices. That's how we get wisdom. Something like that. The deal is, though, here's my definition of experience means multi-sided disillusionment of expectation. Multi-sided disillusionment of expectation. Which otherwise means if we don't have experience, if life just plays out our fantasy and illusion of us being in control and demanding and getting that everybody worships us. So what he did when he came to this country, he blew his stuff. He had the famine came and he was tending pigs. He was in want. Hustereo is the Greek verb, and it's great. It's used in this passage. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What hadn't he learned yet? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that want, that desire, that demand can be deep and profound in a young person. He came to himself and realized he was lost. Okay, I'm not going to go into that as much here. So the kid comes back and his father welcomes him with mercy. Now, I'm one of those people who reads this and says two things. Number one, this kid is still a selfish little... Why? Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. What about his brother? The kid's vision is here. I want to get hired by my pop so I don't have to starve. He doesn't give a hoot about his older brother. He's not even in the picture. He wants food. He doesn't want to be hungry anymore. This confession of fault, to me, seems lacking. And that's really the second point. Because I think the search, not just for forgiveness, but for the experience of mercy, is the process of discovering where in our lives we need it. And the kid's not there yet. What's he avoiding in his life? Where's the battery that's lacking in his life? It's in that part of emptiness, fear, maybe a sense of inadequacy having the perfect older brother, the jerk. Maybe it's that he was so kowtowed to by his old man that he never trusted that his dad loved him. His dad gave him everything he wanted and treated him best. Maybe he wanted the connection and not the cash. So there's stuff, speculating, you look at your own life, there's stuff here that mercy he's still, it seems to me, he's still protecting and just saying, give me food, that's all I want. Just feed me. And I'll be fine. And he meets a greater response than he expected. Is he going to let that into this place in his life of emptiness? Of fear or not? Because if he does, it'll change everything. And then he won't be the center of the world. He will be compassionate for his father and for his brother and for anyone else he meets. Does that make any sense? A little bit?
Yeah,
just stop. Just the last thing about the older brother, being an older brother myself. I've been a good little boy all my life, and why the hell haven't you looked at me? You've treated this younger brother of mine better than me. A life built on seeking something. What? Seeking a connection with his dad, seeking a connection with his brother, but a life built on resentment doesn't accept mercy. And so the question is always, does the older brother go into the party? Heck no. Because at least now means that he has to bring his resentment to encounter that mercy and let go of the control he believed he exercised by being a good little boy, by being the perfect one. It's all about relinquishing the illusion that we're the center of the world. And like I'll tell you every week, I hate to break it to you, but I'm the center of the world, not you. So get over yourselves. Two out of three. Just joking. Last thing. It's a risk to receive mercy. It's a risk because we risk being encountered in what is most precious and yet terrible in our lives that we avoid. And we risk being loved right there. And then what? When it's all turned upside down, then what? All we can do then is follow the Lord. And take that mercy and bring it to people, the very people that are in need of it, in their pain. Our brothers and sisters in ISIS, in Boko Haram, in the other political party. All the people we want to get testy about. They need our mercy, but we need to face our stuff in the presence of the merciful Christ. Just a thought. I think that's the good news, that there's a back door to our hell, our isolated, demanding hell. So let's consider then how we can pray for our world and church as those who have been hurt and yet are called to act as if we're redeemed. Let's see how we do it then.